Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio. Chuck Wilder here. I've got Suede at the network. And we are live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Let's see. Of course, the lineup today, Judd Garrett, former professional football player, now a frequent contributor to Real Clear Politics, going to look at his latest fire. Selwyn Duke in the second hour, writer for New America, going to have his latest, including some libs are befuddled and worried that the conservative comedy scene is besting of them. All right. Frequent contributor to this show is Leo Homan. And Leo Homan has just come out with sad news in a way. Yes. Let me give you this report. Globalism is a demonic spirit that has affected every nation, even those least likely to realize a single long-term benefit from it. And that would include the United States and Israel. Both of these nations were much stronger when they relied on their own people for manufacturing, supply chains, and military protection of secure borders. But listen to this. Israel has now agreed to join the United States in this diabolical plan to hand over sovereignty on matters of public health emergencies to the United Nations World Health Organization, WHO. And as Leo says, Israeli leaders apparently have a short memory. Just 3 years ago, May 2019, when the WHO passed a resolution accusing Israel of perpetrating a public health crisis in the Palestinian territories. 2019, a nation accused of having public health emergency still had a right to disagree with the WHO's assessment and tell the global body to go pound sand. But that right still exists, but it's hanging by a thread, as we've been reporting on the giveaway of the Constitution of the United States coming up next week, possibly, with the big WHO meeting. Yes. Well, other exciting news. Former New York Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that he's running for Congress. De Blasio announced today that he will be seeking the Democratic nomination for the newly drawn 10th Congressional District that little Representative Gerald Nadler occupies, but has announced his plans to vacate. Quote, "I'm very proud of having led this city out of the worst of the COVID crisis," de Blasio told MSNBC's Morning Joe. "I'm ready right now to serve and address the issues that are so deep in communities in Brooklyn and Manhattan, and I just wanted to come here, a place that I cherish, and with you and who have been such good friends, to tell you this is the next step, and I want to serve the people of the community that is my home and that I love." He had announced an exploratory committee just days before this announcement. Earlier this year, de Blasio turned down a run for New York governor as he was polling far behind Governor Kathy Hochul in the Democratic primary. The redistricting process has caused an uproar in the Democratic Party in New York, as Nadler, chief of the House Judiciary Committee, may face off against another powerful committee chair, Representative Carolyn Maloney. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, the chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, has stirred controversy by announcing that he will run against freshman Democrat Representative Jones. De Blasio's last year in office were controversial and fraught with contempt on issues ranging from crime and law enforcement to his administration's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. He has been open about the bitter end of his tenure in office, claiming he made several mistakes that cost him his connection with voters. Quote, "I failed to give New Yorkers a clear sense of where I was taking them. I lost my connection with the people because I mistook real policy for real popularity. I let a focus on individual initiatives, no matter how noble or substantive, distract me from offering an overreaching vision for the future," he said. When it comes to being unpopular, I'm unfortunately somewhat of an expert. I've made my fair share of mistakes. All right. The 18-year-old New York mass shooting suspect accused of killing 10 black victims at a top supermarket in Buffalo May 14th, what U.S. officials are investigating as a hate crime, was confronted in an Erie County courtroom today. Grand jury indicted the white supremacist suspect, Peyton Glendron, on a first-degree murder charge. He continues to be held in prison without bail. Quote, "Peyton, you're a coward," someone inside the courtroom yelled as Glendon, who was silent during today's proceedings, was escorted out. Suspect has been charged with allegedly killing 10 people, wounding 3 others when he pulled up to the Tops grocery store, Jefferson Avenue, around 2:30 p.m. Saturday, immediately began firing off shots. Glendron appeared to have plans to unleash his horrific attack at the supermarket on May 13th around 4 p.m., which he had determined was the busiest time of the day, according to his 180-page manifesto. It's unclear then why he instead allegedly executed his plans on Saturday, May 14th. Now, the suspect was kicked out of the store the night before the shooting for agitating customers and allegedly cased the site again the next morning. Glendron reportedly began visiting the location in March, well before making his plans or allegedly acting on them. In the days since Saturday's mass shooting, high-ranking law enforcement officials, including FBI Director Christopher Wray and the U.S. Attorney General Merrick B. Garland, have undisputedly called the tragedy a hate crime and an act of racially motivated violent extremism. President Biden described the event as a domestic terror incident when he visited Buffalo last Tuesday. The president named the 13 shooting victims, 10 of whom died, detailed their background as parents, grandparents, caretakers, a deacon, a retired police officer, public school teacher, and others whose lives were suddenly cut short in the hate-fueled attack. In other news, the head of the Border Patrol Union warned the imminent end of the Trump-era public health order to expel illegal immigrants will allow the drug cartels to seize complete control now of the southern border. Quote, "that we just don't have anybody in the field, that we just can't patrol the border," National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd said during Fox News, America's newsroom, after being asked about the worst-case scenario once the law ends. He added that the Border Patrol systems is running out of capacity as overwhelmed border agents will be largely held up by the processing asylum-seeking illegal immigrants. "When you look right now, we already start our shifts with 50% of our resources not even performing enforcement activities," he said. But when 42 is released, it's going to be twice as busy. Fox News contributor Jonathan Turley said today that prosecutors in the Michael Sussman trial are facing a nightmare with a jury pool made up of several Clinton donors. The constitutional law professor explained on Fox and Friends the challenges facing special counsel John Durham in the case. Turley says, quote, "Durham faces a lot of challenges in this trial. The jury in the trial has hit the prosecution with limiting orders. This jury pool is a nightmare for the prosecutors. There are 3 Clinton donors on the jury. In the last 24 hours, the judge turned down a motion to dismiss a juror whose daughter is actually playing on the same team with the daughter of Sussman. So I think for the prosecutors, it seems like the only thing that is missing on the jury is Chelsea Clinton. A jury of your peers is not supposed to mean other Clinton people, and so I think that the prosecutors have quite a challenge with this pool." Senator Rand Paul, Republican Kentucky, said that the United States has to borrow money from communist China to send Ukraine $40 billion in aid. So not only is the Biden administration sending money to a foreign country in the midst of skyrocketing inflation and looming food shortages, but they're also getting themselves into debt with a growing superpower. As the Senate remains poised to pass legislation that would send $40 billion more in military and economic aid to the Ukraine, Paul has contended the package needs an inspector general to ensure that the billions of dollars are spent wisely. Paul states that America would need to continue borrowing from China to appropriate the proposed Ukraine aid package. Now, the Senate remains poised to pass the legislation that would send $40 billion in military and economic aid to the Ukraine. Quote, "I think it's important to know that we don't have any money to send. We have to borrow money from China to send it to the Ukraine," he said. "And I think most people kind of get that. And many Republicans will say that when it's a new social program, but if the military aid to the country, they like we can borrow that, that's justify borrowing," Paul explained. Elon Musk lashed out at Twitter after Tesla was removed from a widely followed substantially index on Wednesday over concerns about the company's lack of low-carbon strategy, allegations of workplace racism, and autopilot deaths. Tweeting in the wee hours of Thursday, Musk responded to well-known tech investor Cathie Wood, who called Tesla's removal from the S&P 500 ESG index ridiculous, adding, "not worthy of any response." "Yep," responded Musk, "a clear case of wackatism." An executive with S&P Dow Jones, which maintains the index, said that Tesla had been removed because of issues including claims of racial discrimination and crashes linked to its autopilot vehicle. Racial discrimination. Okay. The move was effective on May 2nd, but was only announced on Wednesday in a blog post from the SPDJI. In other changes, the substantially index also added soon-to-be Musk-controlled Twitter and oil refiner Phillips 66, while dropping Delta Airlines and Chevron, according to the announcement. By the way, ESG stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. The criteria is used by socially conscious investors when deciding where to put their money, according to Investopedia. Tesla remains on the regular S&P 500 index, which measures the largest companies in the U.S. by market capitalization. Now, the index providers cited various issues at Tesla that significantly lowered its ESG score, including autopilot technology that's been linked to at least 11 deaths since 2016. Now, that's news to me. Yes, 11 deaths. Allegations of racism also contributed to the company's removal last October. A jury awarded $137 million to a former contractor who called Tesla's Fremont plant a hotbed of racist behavior. Well, that paid off for them, didn't it? Earlier, Musk slammed the decision on Twitter, claiming the index has been weaponized by phony social justice warriors. So there you have the answer. Okay, we're going to take a break. Judd Garrett coming up next.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking, and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, you know, sitting here thinking, boy, one of the best writers that I've run across just recently really knows how to put words in action, and you may be missing out, so I want you to make sure you get a piece of paper and a piece of pencil, because when I give out this website, you want to write it down, okay? Who am I talking about? I'm talking about my guest coming up right now, Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. After 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, he then began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, and Cowboys, served another 12 years as a personal executive with the Cowboys. Judd has written two screenplays, frequent contributor on the topic of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics. And No Wind, W-I-N-D, that's his first published novel. Judd is married, father of six children, and the website objectivityistheobjective.com. Judd, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am fair to partly cloudy today. I had a sneezing attack for some reason, and I... don't have any new thing here, no new kitten, no new dog, you know, that would cause that. So I don't know what it is. Maybe it means I'm going to win the lottery. I just don't know. Signs, yeah, signs from the nose. Could you imagine, listener, if you said, what's this article? What's this article entitled? Fire, fire, fire. It sounds like a captain on a Navy ship, doesn't it? Yes. But anyway, it's a little bit more serious than that. We are the big thing that, you know, is going on right now, the Buffalo, New York shooting, the manifest and all that. And this last Saturday, Buffalo, New York, mentally ill man with a gun walked into a grocery store and opened fire, killing 10 people and wounding 3 more. And we always come up with this stuff. It seems like it's popping up more now than ever, Judd. I think it was Rules for Radical. Never let a crisis go to waste. Blame others for what you do. And here they are, not letting this crisis go to waste. Take it away, sir.
Yeah, I mean, the politicians on the left, I mean, they're waiting for an incident like this so they can exploit it to, again, attack their opponents, but also try to get power for themselves. And this is exactly what they're doing with this Buffalo case. I mean, apparently the shooter, who everyone realizes was mentally ill, he had written a manifesto, and there were some racist rants and misinformation in that manifesto. And the people on the left are trying to claim that was the cause of the shooting. You know, Joy Reid from MSNBC, she tried to blame Tucker Carlson. She said no singular voice in right-wing media has done more to elevate this racist conspiracy theory than Tucker Carlson. Al Sharpton blamed Donald Trump. He said what Donald Trump as president did, mainstreaming this hatred, opens and broadens the whole pathway to the shooting in Buffalo. So they couldn't wait for an incident like that so they could start blaming, you know, Trump and Tucker and all these other people, you know, for this horrific tragedy, and it's basically shameless.
Here's a question for you. If you're insane, right, then how would you know if you were racist or not? You know, maybe he didn't know he was racist. You know, maybe he just said, I'm tired of having to stand in the line because I had more than 12 pieces of grocery, you know, and I couldn't get in the express line. Who knows, you know, seriously. But I was reading something, and it may be in your report because I read so much stuff, that this guy was talking about this in high school a long, long time ago, and it was like, people are going, wow, you know, it's like a novel or something like that. And he said, no, this is what I really want to do. And it was talking about killing a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, I heard the story that at the end of one class, he said something to that effect, that he wanted to kill people. And the teacher reported him. They went to the mental health clinic. But then he lied and said, I was just saying that to get out of class. So they sent him back to school. And then, like, 2 or 3 days later, he shoots a bunch of people. So yeah, there were a bunch of red flags about this guy that the authorities who should have done something about it never did.
Oh, yeah. It's never their fault, that's for sure. We're going to take a quick break, be back with Judd Garrett. The title of this one, listener, Fire, Fire, Fire. And it's interesting how those words are so important in the history of the United States, really. You know, I'll just give you one example. You know, you don't holler fire in a theater, remember? Yeah, that's the one most people remember. The website, objectivityistheobjective.com, Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, will continue with this one, Fire, Fire, Fire.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Jim Broadbent and Helen Mirren play an aging couple whose quiet life in Northern England is rocked by his attempted theft of a priceless portrait of the Duke of Wellington and the bizarre and hilarious true story, The Duke, now playing in select theaters.
I'm shocked there's a stolen masterpiece in my wardrobe.
I can explain. I'm tackling social injustice.
Well, the prime injustice he's concerned with in 1961 is the British TV tax that benefited the BBC. And by stealing the Goya portrait from the National Gallery, the protagonist got plenty of publicity for his cause. The acting is world-class and Oscar-worthy, portraying endearingly eccentric characters who sustain an enduring but slightly demented relationship. The result is a delightful, moving, and richly satisfying romp that plays like a classic Frank Capra movie with thick, regional British accents. It's rated a surprising R for salty language, but deserves a very broad audience. 4 stars for The Duke.
These are the sounds of Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club.
Mm, look at this ribeye. You see that ribeye?
Fantastic. Ah, incredible.
This is delicious.
Sausage and lentil soup. Special today. Very, very good.
Look at this garlic bread. Best garlic bread I ever had.
And here's Vic Perino, owner and operator of Columbo's.
A lot of the Italian recipes are my uncle's own recipes. We have a lot of people coming back for his hand-rolled lasagna. We make it basically from scratch. I think ours is exceptional.
Here's Vic on what makes makes Colombo's different than any other Italian restaurant.
The other thing that sets us apart from other Italian restaurants is that we're an Italian steakhouse. We specialize in our steaks.
Plus, there's more.
We have entertainment 7 nights a week. So they're coming for a lot of reasons to value. Their value per dollar that they're getting, plus coming into a neighborhood-friendly place. Sometimes we're actually accused of being the melting pot of Eagle Rock.
Colombo's in Eagle Rock on Colorado Boulevard, 323-254-9138. Mangia.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines. And you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with Judd Garrett, author of No Wind, and the website objectivityistheobjective.com, talking about fire, fire, fire. And, of course, they go after number one, Tucker Carlson. You say there's a lot of rhetoric here, though, because we can flash back to Kenosha, Wisconsin, right? I don't hear Judd there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. did you hear my question?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we didn't get the same type of response, with the Kenosha, Wisconsin massacre when Daryl Brooks, ran down a bunch of people in the Christmas parade, killing 6 and injuring 48. No one blamed Joe Biden, because he called Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist and said he was angry over Rittenhouse's acquittal. We didn't hear that type of blame game for that. We only hear it when they can put the blame on someone from the right, which is, again, it just shows the media's hypocrisy.
Yeah, and you mentioned the name, Daryl Brooks. It's like people will have to pause and say, wait a minute, now who is Daryl Brooks, right? Because you're not, hearing what you're hearing now about this guy, his name constantly. And then there's another one, Frank James, all right? And this was April 12th, 2022.
Frank James, just last month, he had a bunch of, just like Daryl Brooks, they both had a bunch of violent anti-white racist posts on the social media accounts. He went into a New York City subway and fired 33 shots, and he wounded 10 people. And again, there was not the blame of, say, Barack Obama, who's always calling America racist, and claims that racism is still part of our DNA. No one blamed Obama because a black man, fed up with America's racism, decides to go into a subway and shoot up a car filled with white people.
I don't think I ever heard one single report refer to him as racist.
Yeah, I mean, it was completely ignored. If you can, mm-hmm. If you can pin a massacre on someone on the right, they do it in a second, but they'll go to great lengths to avoid doing the same thing to a politician on the left. And to me, it's just it's disgusting the way they do it.
Yeah. And you say that claiming that other people incite you to violence is essentially blaming others for your own actions. Yeah. But maybe this is where we are in the world today, as Judd says.
Yeah, no one is taking responsibility for their own actions, for what they do. You know, I mean, to me, I don't think anybody could incite me to do something that I didn't want to do. If someone came up to me and said, go rob that bank, and I went and robbed the bank, I couldn't turn around and say, he made me do it. No, I made the choice to go do it. So, you know, Daryl Brooks or the shooter in Buffalo, they made their decisions irrespective of what Tucker Carlson said or what Joe Biden said or what Barack Obama said. They're individuals. They make their own choices, and they need to be held accountable and responsible for their own actions.
Right. And then I remember you used to hear it all the time. The devil made me do it. Right. And you say the devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it. Do rap songs and violent movies cause violence? Should political pundits be held responsible for the actions of others? You know, I think it was yesterday or the day before I had a New York law that came out, where you couldn't hold rap singers responsible for any crimes that might have been caused by their songs. and it is funny because, you know, people, I was listening to rap music, and I went out and said, okay, I got to kill that guy, you know, or attack that girl or whatever. Donald Trump, did he incite the riot at the Capitol?
No, I mean, you know, I don't think Donald Trump incited the riot at the Capitol regardless of what he said. And I also don't believe that the FBI agents who are embedded in the crowd, the false flag operatives, did either. Mm-hmm. I mean, if a person was at the Capitol and they decided to riot, they decided to smash windows or do whatever they did, I don't care what anybody else was saying around them, they're responsible for their actions. And we can't blame anybody else for the actions that we choose. And I take it the next step. You know, Obama, Kamala Harris, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, they all came out with very, very racially divisive rhetoric after George Floyd, after his death. I don't think they incited the riots in 2020. The people who were throwing the Molotov cocktails, who were looting the stores, who were killing people, those people made their choices, and those individual people should be held responsible, not what anybody said, you know, about the issue at hand.
You know how I am, Judd. When they started, especially Nancy Pelosi, I think she got carried away more about, you know, George Floyd. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. you know, and then whenever they were going to put the statue up and all this stuff, and this is your symbol. This is the person that you need to look up to, you know. George Floyd was actually a drug addict, you know. And this thing about I can't breathe, that started in the back seat of the police car. It is just amazing that if you don't know all the facts, sometimes you'll swallow what they're putting out to you. You know what I mean? It's
exactly. There's evidence that he died of a drug overdose, and he wasn't killed by Derek Chauvin. I mean, that's not.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down that road, but And he wasn't this hero that everybody's making him out to be. I mean, he was a convicted felon who was an armed robber. He held a gun to the stomach of a pregnant woman as he was robbing her. So, you know, he wasn't this hero that he's made out to be. But that's just another example of the people on the left exploiting the situation, exploiting the death of George Floyd to push their own political agendas and turn the country into what they want to make it.
And you figure if a guy's handcuffed to the car, you don't need to put a boot on his neck. You know, he's not going anywhere, so that would be about the only crime the police officer actually was involved in, you know, maybe over restraint, if that's such a word in the police department. I don't know. Over restraint, O-R, yes, we got it. You say that none of this left-wing rhetoric is the aftermath of the Buffalo shooting has anything to do with the people who lost their lives, nor is it an attempt to prevent a tragedy like this from happening again. It's solely about the Democrats attempting to maintain power by controlling the speech of the American people and censoring the speech of their political opponents. It's a wonder they don't have a misinformation committee. Oh, that's right. It's on hold.
Yeah. But that's what the Democrats are. They exploit tragedies. They don't care about the people who were killed. They don't care. All they care about is how am I going to be able to manipulate and exploit this tragedy for my own purposes.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get to the title of this, Fire, Fire, Fire. Why would he call it Fire, Fire, Fire? And I said, you know, perhaps the most remembered expression whenever you hear that is that, you know, you can't yell fire in a theater, right? But the one and only Judd Garrett, he just breaks it down for you. Go ahead.
Yes, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, you know, as she's calling for, you know, social media platforms to be regulated, said you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Joe Biden last year in the State of the Union address said no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. And even Barack Obama in his book, The Audacity of Hope, he wrote, the First Amendment doesn't give you the right to yell fire in a crowded theater. And, you know, I just went through and asked, you know, why can't you yell fire in a crowded theater?
Yeah.
That comes from the 1919 Supreme Court case, Schenck versus the United States. Oliver Wendell Holmes, the justice writing for the court's decision, he said the most stringent protection of free speech would not protect a man falsely shouting fire in a theater and causing a panic. So that's where it comes from. And there were examples that I listed where he would, you know, where he would get this idea. There was a situation in London where someone yelled fire in a building. There was a panic and 8 people were trampled to death. You know, there's the famous Shiloh Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, where someone yelled, "There's a fight," and a lot of people misheard it as "There's a fire." And there was a panic, and 115 people were killed.
And that
and then,
was 1902, right?
1902. Yeah. And then in Michigan, on December 24th, 1913, in the Italian Hall, 73 people were crushed to death in a stampede when someone falsely shouted fire. So that's where, you know, he came up with this prohibition. These things have been happening, and he said you can't yell or falsely yell fire in a crowded theater. So that's where Oliver Wendell Holmes got that prohibition.
But then Judd Garrett says, but what is the alternative course of action when a fire breaks out? Are we expected to keep our mouths shut and not alert people who might be in danger? Well, and then you go back, and that's what happened on a Tuesday evening, December 5th, 1876, during a play, right?
Yeah, in the Brooklyn Theater, they're having a play called The Two Orphans, and between acts 4 and 5, a fire broke out behind the stage, and the people there didn't want to create a panic, so they didn't say anything to the people in the audience. They tried to put the fire out themselves and keep the play going because they didn't want to create the panic. And then what happened was the fire ended up becoming out of control, and by the time they yelled fire to get everybody out, it was way too late, and 278 people were killed in the fire. So not yelling fire ended up killing much more people than yelling fire did in those other three examples.
Yeah, you know, 1876, 278 people killed. Too bad they hadn't invented fire alarms, I guess, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, and then the other thing is, you know, we're looking at that prohibition from from a lens of the year 2022, you know, back then they didn't have the fire codes that we have now in buildings, where you have to have a number of exits to accommodate all of your guests, so they can get out safely without people being trampled. So nowadays, if you did yell fire in a theater, you know, the doors would open, people would leave peacefully, and everybody would get out. So anyway, I'm just trying to give a background history of why we have that prohibition against yelling fire in a crowded theater.
I like your example too, when on the Seinfeld episode. If you haven't seen it, listener, you know you can find these episodes all over the place. But this is at a child's birthday party, I guess it is, right? And George, there's a grease fire that broke out on the stove, and it kind of shows you how some people are cowards, I guess. But anyway, it's interesting reading. And I don't know if we want to get into it too much right now, because there's other stuff here to. Well, we got about 2 minutes before the break, and I think we're going to get it all in. I hate to overtalk you, which I'm doing right now, Judd, because I'm using up valuable time. But if you want to talk about the Seinfeld episode, we can. But it's up to you.
Yeah. Really quickly, just, you know, George Costanza, the fire broke out at a kid's party, and instead of helping people out, he ran over an old lady and knocked over little kids to get out the building. And I think the prohibition against yelling fire in a crowded theater assumes that everybody in America would act like George Costanza in a fire, but in actuality, it's the exact opposite. And I bring up the World Trade Centers as an example.
Yeah. You say, is our society so selfish and self-serving that we would trample other people to death to save our own lives? Is that character? Go ahead.
If that's our collective character, then this conversation of freedom of speech means nothing, because, you know, we're so far gone. But, you know, if you look at the World Trade Center on 9/11, the exact opposite happened. You know, people didn't trample each other getting out of those buildings. In fact, there's a lot of examples of people helping other people down. Like there was a lady who was in a wheelchair, and two men carried her down like 40 flights of stairs to get her out of the building. And there's examples of people who went back up into the building to try to help other people out and ended up dying. So, you know, I think as a country, we're not going to trample people coming out of a burning building. We're going to go in and we're going to help people. We're going to go back in and try to save people. So this whole prohibition about yelling fire in a crowded theater, I think, is meaningless in this day and age.
You know, I was just sitting here thinking, boy, there sure are a lot of TV shows right now, sitcoms, that, you know, we have the 9-11s and the 9-11, I think, one's in Texas and one's in New York maybe, you know. But, and you don't really hear fire, fire, fire holler too much there either. So we've come a long way, and now you hear the ringing of the bell, and if it's a fire alarm, you don't have to holler fire, fire, fire. But I've always wondered how come they don't. How come they always work? You know, the fire bells usually. So that's a brand new innovation from what we are talking about when you go back to the 1800s. We're gonna be back and wrap things up in just a moment with the one and only Judd Garrett. His book is entitled No Wind, and it is available at Amazon.com. And the blog, where you can read all these excellent reports, is Objectivity is the Objective. Objectivity is the Objective.com. Be right back.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay Marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. My friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with my guest Judd Garrett, author of No Wind. Don't forget the website, objectivityistheobjective.com. You know, getting back to the 9/11 incident and not hollering, fire, 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 you have here about that it was reported that workers in the South Tower were actually instructed not to evacuate. Did you know I've never heard that before, Judd? It's interesting that that you have this in here. They were told to go back. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that in a documentary and also read about it. That you know, in the South Tower, you know, after the building was hit by the plane, you know, people were a little bit scared and they were told everything's all right. Go back. You know, go back to your offices. And you know, they went back to their office for about 20, 30 minutes. And if they were told to evacuate immediately, there are people who got caught up when the building, you know, collapsed that would have gotten out. So, again, if the authorities would have yelled, quote, unquote, fire, hey, we got to evacuate, we have an issue, more people would have been saved on 9/11. And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying that this whole idea is that we don't want to create a panic by alerting people to what the truth is. And the truth is that the building was hit, and you could be in danger. So we expect you to evacuate, but do it in a reasonable, rational way, not you know panicking and running people over.
Yeah, and it's it'd kind of be interesting, but it'd be hard to get the figures of how many people actually overreact. You know, when they're trying to get out of a burning building, you know what I'm trying to say? There's somebody might say, boy, this guy, you know, he was the one that got in front of all the mothers and the children. And now you don't even know if that would apply. You know, before you'd say, let's get the women and children out first. You know, you'd hear that, especially in the old cowboy westerns or something like that. But now what you would do is just automatically holler and say, and I identify myself as a woman, right?
Yeah, I think a little bit of the reason why they had the women and children first is so that men would be told, hey, you're not going to rush out of there and knock over women and children. You're going to allow the women and children out first, and that helped to remain, you know, keep the order, you know, in an evacuation situation.
So today's crazy world, what would you do? You wear a badge identifying as a woman, if that's what you're, man identifying a woman, or you're a woman identifying as a man. You know what I'm saying? And then they say, well, I couldn't read your badge because it melted from the fire. Yes. You've got to be careful what you wish for, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. But in the end, you know, we should be expected to act like, you know, rational, reasonable people and deal with, you know, an emergency situation the right way, and don't act selfishly, help people out and do that along the way. And to me, you know, to the larger point, they're trying to use this prohibition of you can't yell fire in a crowded theater to be able to shut down the voices of Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump,
right,
voices they don't like, because they think that they're creating this violence in our society. But in reality, I mean, I listen to Tucker Carlson. I've listened to Donald Trump. I've never once been incited to even think about violence listening to their words. So I don't even know where they're coming from when they try to create that prohibition.
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, you've heard this before, another excellent report from the one and only Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. Get a copy of his win. Get a copy of his book, No Wind. It is an interesting book, and it's fiction. Yeah, put it that way. Fiction probably based on a lot of fact. Thank you very much, Judd. Look forward to our next event.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Judd Garrett, Objectivity is the Objective. Selwyn Duke is next.
Are you tired of your favorite talk show?
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. And I've got Suede at the network, and we're live across America, and believe it or not, around the world at crntalk.com. Hey, here's a heads up when next we meet Carla Jones. She is Senior Director of ALEC's Task Force on Federalism and International Relations. And we're going to get into a lot of these fires that are going on, you know, and especially the big ones in New Mexico. And her subject is, there's a better way to manage America's public lands, okay? And then Frank Savato, host of Underground USA podcast, with his latest, The Next Elections Actually Need to Be Referendums. Okay, well, let's see. Do we have a guest? Let's see if we can find a real good one. Okay, here's one. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. Yes, Selwyn has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gail Sinage Learning. He appears on television and great radio programs just like this one. And his website, selwynduke.com. And ladies and gentlemen, now here comes the one and only Duke. I love it when it's Friday. Oh, yes. Hey, Selwyn, how are you?
Hi there, Chuck. I'm doing great. You know, thank God it's Friday. People say that, but for me, it's a wilder day. So how could I not be doing well? How are you?
Wow. Thank God it's Friday and a wilder day. And I like that. A wilder day. We may have to work on a whole new thing here. I am okay. You know, it's this world is crazier than I think it's ever been before, you know. Even during the cowboy days, they knew they were fighting the Indians, okay, and they weren't fighting anybody else. But I don't know. It is crazy times, and I hope people are smart enough to be able to filter what's going through. That might be a good title. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting.
Filter? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's interesting, Chuck, because you mentioned the Old West, and here's a little fact. According to what I read, actually, the so-called Wild West was not as violent as people think. Right. There was violence between the U.S. Army and the Plains Indians. That's true, but if you're talking about the small towns they had out there, they very much were like small towns today. They really didn't have much crime. That's my understanding. And, of course, people have the idea that it was exactly the opposite because of these dime store novels that were written, you know what I'm talking about, by writers who were trying to weave a story, a yarn, and make things seem really exciting.
You know,
but it's
not really accurate.
The
greatest writer maybe on that, believe it or not, and I think most people don't even know this, is a guy named Zane Grey, all right? Now, have you heard of you? I know you have because you're a great scholar.
Yeah,
you've heard
yeah.
of Zane Grey. I have the entire collection of Zane Grey books, and the only reason I have them was because my father was a big reader of Zane Grey. And I thought, yeah, God, how can you buy so many cowboy books, you know? But these are, you know, hard copy and some great stories. But you are absolutely right. Most people think that you would never want to walk into a bar because they're just about ready to pull their gun and kill somebody, you know? But there were still a lot of alcoholics.
I hate to break it to people, but they didn't actually have those standoffs where they stood there seeing who was going to be quicker on the draw. I read that maybe there's a record of that having happened once, but no, they weren't that dumb.
Yeah, normally they'd go down to the corral, you know.
Yeah.
Like Tucson.
That happened, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
really.
The OK Corral.
Well,
yeah.
I want to get to some of your excellent stories, all of them. I say some of his excellent stories. Everyone he does is like, oh, my God, I hope we get to this one. And the one on the bottom, I'll tell you that we're not going to get to, okay, because Chuck talks too much. Some libs are befuddled and worried that the conservative comedy scene is besting them. See, very interesting. It's comedy. And, you know, Selwyn and I get into that a lot, and that's why the program should be 3 hours with Selwyn. How's that? Yes. But here... The Great Replacement isn't theory, but fact, according to the left. And I'm going to just give them the first line here, okay, and let you run with this because all your great talent. If those espousing the Great Replacement really are responsible for mentally unstable teen Peyton Glendon's Saturday massacre in Buffalo, then we know who to blame, the left. Now, you hear the big intake of breath there from all the left. The breath from the left whenever you say something that they don't agree with. But how could this be? How could this be, Selwyn?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Chuck, because this is another example of the left engaging in gaslighting, trying to get people to question their grasp on reality. And it's interesting because... What's his name? Larry Elder. Larry Elder, the pundit, who happens to be black, if that matters to anyone, just wrote an article about how it's an absolute myth that most mass shooters are white. Now, I wrote about this myself years ago, but what he did was he showed you the statistics that actually white males are slightly underrepresented when it comes to mass shootings, not overrepresented, and he said it's blacks and Asian descent Americans who are actually overrepresented. So just want to point that out. That's not in my article, but we've heard a lot about how ever since the shooting, well, we've had all this great replacement rhetoric, and it's so irresponsible, and it caused this carnage here in Buffalo, and Tucker Carlson in particular, he has been beating this drum, right? The great replacement, which of course refers to the idea that white people are being replaced with third worlders, mainly via immigration. Okay, well, here's the whole thing, though. Who has been talking about the Great Replacement? Who, by the way, has orchestrated it? Because actually it is occurring. And you can argue about the extent to which it's happening naturally and to the extent that it might be a scheme. You can argue about that. You can argue about whether it's good or bad. But the left, The left has actually been talking about it, okay? And there are very, very good examples here, okay? For instance, there was an article on Sunday, Chuck, in the New York Times that whose title was Fringe Conspiracy Theory Refashioned by the GOP. Okay, and in that article, they blame Tucker Carlson for promoting the idea of the Great Replacement. But that's interesting because, get this, the paper itself, The Times, ran this 2018 headline, quote, "We can replace them." You can't get more blunt than that. So as I put it in my piece, well, welcome to the fringe, gray lady. But it's interesting because this article, We Can Replace Them, it deals with Democrat Stacey Abrams' 2018 Georgia gubernatorial run, right? And the writer was one Michelle Goldberg, and she was beating around the demographic bush. She didn't exactly say, well, we're trying to replace our traditional population with third worlders, but she would probably say, well, I'm just talking about replacing the white conservative minority in power. But she does conclude with this, Chuck, at the end of her article. She writes, in a week, American voters can do to white nationalists what they fear most, show them they're being replaced. Now, here's the thing, though. White nationalists actually are a fringe group. They're not in power. They have got no institutional power whatsoever. So what replacement could this writer Goldberg have been referring to? Mm-hmm. Okay, but understand, it's not just her. Leftists have been talking about this over and over and over again. I mean, they've written articles. They've been quelling. They've been boasting of it. Here's an example, courtesy of Tucker Carlson. Julian Castro, when he was the San Antonio mayor in 2008, quote, he said, in a couple of presidential cycles, you'll be on election night. You'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president. It's changing. It's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics, which are changing mainly because of immigration. Okay, that
Let
I
me
added.
Ask you real quick when I read that. The purple state. Now, remember the song, The Purple People Eater?
Yeah.
Where,
that's true.
Where does the color purple, how come purple ties into this?
Oh, well, that's what they call states that are sort of in between red and blue that are not
like
really
a faded
definitively.
Town, in other words, right? Yeah, without in the sun too long, it turned purple. Okay, I got it now.
Not really definitively conservative or liberal.
It's not your fault. It's Julian Castro's fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm not crazy about these colors that they designate the parties with, by the way. That's
it's
a little crazy because
the rainbows, Wellen.
Yeah, the rainbow. But also the Republican Party many years ago was designated with the blue color and the Democrats with the red. But I guess the Democrats didn't want to be associated with red because that was the color of communism. And that struck too close to home because, after all, what lies at the Democrat Party's heart today? So they flipped that around and now the Republicans are red. But anyway, I digress. Let's continue here with the examples. We've got Illinois Senator Dick Durbin. He said, quote, the demographics of America are not on the side of the Republican Party. The new voters in this country are moving away from them, and instead they're moving to be independents or even vote on the other side. But that's it, right? There couldn't be anything more than that. Well, no.
Well, and
how
also that was before that was before 2,000 mules, okay?
Yeah.
Moving away from
that's
the Republicans. Apparently, no, they weren't. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's just stop here for a second, take a pit stop, because Tucker Carlson mentioned this, too, that the Democrats' plans may not work out as they hope, because we've seen very recently Hispanics take a turn towards the Republicans. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just read today, Chuck, just today, that only 26% of Hispanics approve of Biden's job performance.
Yeah,
now, I'll say something about this.
Go ahead.
This is true. We've seen this trend. But I don't know if it's going to hold, number one, over the course of time, because remember, right now the Democrats have really jumped the shark with the radicalism. They're alienating a lot of people. Number two, if you look at what Hispanics actually want in terms of issues when polled, you'll see they want big government. They want the kinds of things that were promised in their native lands but weren't delivered, and that's sort of an issue. And that doesn't mean the Republicans would become extinguished. It means they would become a party of big government that also happened to be pro-life and maybe pro-Second Amendment rights. But I digress again.
Let me interrupt just a second here. You know Neil Diamond, okay? His song, Coming to America, is all about his mother coming because, you know, it was to the greatest country in the world, right? And I think, you know, all of these people coming across the border that want to get over here, it's not because Biden is saying, we're going to give you free money, free housing, you know, and blah, 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 right? I think they still have this belief that America is the greatest nation in the world. You know, they haven't realized what you and I are going through right now because, you know, we're kind of losing faith in America. I am.
Okay? Yeah.
And the people that are trying to destroy it. But, see, I think Biden and him think, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to offer this and this and this, and then they're going to vote for me because, you know, and it's, you know, maybe he hasn't got it figured out like he thinks he has, if he's the guy that's really thinking on the other end of the stick, so to speak. But you have time here before the break to get in the Biden comment, too, because we had Castro, Durbin. By the way, that's Julian Castro, in case you tuned in late. And Biden, what did Biden say real quick?
Okay, the pièce de résistance, quote, an unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop, nonstop. Folks like me who are Caucasian of European descent for the first time in 2017 will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength. That's what Biden said. Wrong about his prediction, of course, because he's completely confused. But that's what he said.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, and if you're not sure, but anyway, is the reason they had to have voter fraud. Yes, for what his comment was. Yes. Wonder if he was reading that. Somebody wrote it for him. I don't know. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with the one and only Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. His website, SelwynDuke.com. That's where you can read all these great articles. SelwynDuke.com. We'll be right back.
Experiencing pain, back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain, pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Hi, everyone. Fred Dreyer here, reminding all of you to join me for a very special event coming your way Sunday, June 12th at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Meet me at galaxycon.com for a free question and answer session, then stick around for a one-on-one video chat with me. Plus, there are autographs and more. Sign up now at galaxycon.com. GALAXYCON.com. That's galaxycon.com.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, and we're talking about one of his latest, The Great Replacement Isn't Theory But Fact, According to the Left. And Selwyn, please continue here. What is the Daily Caller, I think, is where we were going to go here on this one, unless you had something else.
Right. No, absolutely. We just quoted Joe Biden. That was sort of the pièce de résistance. He said, white people will be a minority, an absolute minority, for the first time in 2017. Now, of course, he was wrong about that. He got confused. He was probably thinking of white children, something of that nature. But anyway, there can't be more examples, though, right? No, I mean, the left couldn't have been talking about the Great Replacement that much, because they've said that talking about the Great Replacement is the worst thing you could do, that you're fomenting unrest, that you're sparking violence and hate, except that they did talk about it more and more and more, a lot more. Here's the Daily Caller providing some other examples, okay? I'm going to quote that website. Quote, a 1990 article in Time magazine predicted that white Americans would soon become a minority group due in large part to immigration, and that this change would reshape society and politics. The liberal think tank Center for American Progress said in 2013 that, quote, supporting real immigration reform that contains a pathway to citizenship for our nation's 11 million undocumented immigrants is the only way to maintain electoral strength in the future. And let me tell you, Chuck, the Center for American Progress was not talking about the electoral strength of the Republican Party there. It was talking about that other party. Okay, continue here. Salon, quote, wrote in 2008 that New Mexico's growing Hispanic population had helped to make the state solidly blue, and speculated that the growing proportion of Hispanic voters in various swing states could create a permanent Democratic majority and land a Democrat in the White House in every presidential election, unquote. Very, very interesting.
And that was then there was Barack 2008, right?
2008. They've been talking about this for a very, very long time. Some of them even call it the Browning of America. They actually call it that.
And then along came Trump.
Yeah. But then we had Barack Obama in 2015. Now, what did he say? He said he was, quote, optimistic, unquote, that conservatism would be extinguished, quote, because this country just becomes more and more a hodgepodge of folks, unquote. And Chuck, haven't you always wanted to live in a hodgepodge?
Yeah,
haven't you aspired to that?
Yeah. That's almost like no running water, no electricity. You know what I mean? Hodgepodge. You know, I'm going to have to look that word up. You probably know the definition of hodgepodge.
Yeah, well, I think it's a group of very, very different disparate things that roll together, But I was under the impression that we were supposed to be living in a nation, not a hodgepodge, but I guess I was wrong about that, like I am about so many things. Yeah. But anyway, I point out in my article, because I never forgot this, that actually this phenomenon extends beyond the United States to other parts of the Western world. And here's another example. In 2009, there was this fellow Andrew Nether. Now, he was a former advisor to ex-British Prime Minister Tony Blair. So in other words, he was part of their Labour Party, their Liberal Party. And he confessed in 2009 that the massive immigration into the United Kingdom over the previous 15 years was designed to, quote, rub the right's nose in diversity and render their arguments out of date.
Wow.
That's what he said.
Be but careful the what you wish for, right? Remember that, Selwyn?
Be careful
what you wish for. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Importing a foreign army to win power. What kind of a person does that, and how do you describe such a person? Maybe with a word that begins with T and ends with N? I don't know. Or, I'm sorry, begins with T and ends with R. I was thinking of treason and traitor. But anyway, now the thing is, though, let's look at what the fruits of this are. Say what you want, but the demographic upheaval, Chuck, has not been as profound anywhere else as it has been in the United States, okay? Here, non-Hispanic whites were about 90% of our 1965 population, but they're now about 60%. And again, this is mainly due to migration and immigration. And as I said at the outset, you can argue about whether this is a good thing, a bad thing, or a neutral thing. You can debate the degree to which this transformation is an accidental thing or a calculated thing. But the truth is this. It's a factual thing. All right? And I quote in my article, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, a liberal icon, he said, "You're entitled to your own opinion. You are not entitled to your own facts." But the left would have you say or have you believe, well, don't pay attention to that man behind the window. This is all your imagination, the great replacement. No, no, and if you talk about it, you're a racist, even though we talked about it all those years and years. But forget about that, because history always starts anew with the left at the very moment with what's convenient for them. That's how it works. It's always their year zero when they've got to wipe the slate clean because they didn't like what they did before. And they want to rearrange things once again.
All right. And we'll give you the final note on this when we return with the one and only Selwyn Duke.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
A divorced dad takes his new fiance to his former country home to meet his three kids and his ex in the creepy chiller Homebound, now playing in select theaters.
I've always wondered what it's like to be part of a proper family.
It might be better for everyone if you went on your way.
It's time.
You're gonna love this.
Well, chances are you won't, because the three kids and their dad all seem demonic and dangerous, hiding some ghastly secret. The acting and direction are skillful enough here to make this dark picture deeply disturbing, and to keep you guessing about some of the mysteries in the background. But the characters, all of them, are either foolish, unlikable, or criminally insane, so you'll leave the theater with a combination of frustration, depression, and downright horror. 2 stars for Homebound. It's not officially rated, but it should be a hard R.
This review brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, selwynduke.com. And we've been discussing the great replacement isn't theory, but fact, according to the left. And I want to make sure, because they're very important statements here at the very end. Oh, you know, yeah, anyway, whenever you're talking about the other things they do and play the divided and conquered identity politics card, I know you said these, but you had to kind of rush through it. Beat the critical race theory drum, casting all whites as privileged oppressors, and talk about erasing whiteness and advocate reparations. Erasing whiteness, that sounds like fighting words, doesn't it, Selwyn?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. Now, I wanted to get into this. So at the same time that they're encouraging this immigration-fired transformation of the country, they play the divide-and-conquer identity politics card. We know that, pitting groups against other groups, right? They beat that critical race theory drum, and they say all whites are basically privileged oppressors. This is a fact. It's in schools. And yes, as you just said, they talk about erasing whiteness. They actually use that phrase, erasing whiteness, and they advocate reparations. And then they're surprised when certain white people also start getting into identity politics and start treasuring their own identity. And that was the case with this Gendron kid who perpetrated that massacre in Buffalo. I mean, it's unbelievable.
You know, so, and real quick, what I find very interesting is that I see so many Congress critters talking about how bad whites are, and they're white Congress critters. You know, it's the man in the mirror once again, right? I mean, what in the world? Even Joe Biden, you know, talking about this is a good thing if the whites all disappear. What? You know?
Yeah.
Look at your, go ahead.
It's interesting, Chuck. It's interesting because, you know, I just gave that list of the things that the left is doing, and then you have to say, well, that old saying occurs to me, it's not paranoia when they're really after you, but no, in reference to what you just said, you have to remember different people have different motivations and some people have multiple motivations. Now, the politicians in many cases, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, are they really anti-white? No, they're not. They just want power. So, again, they're playing this divide and conquer race card. Then you have other people who are legitimately anti-white. They tend to be overrepresented among activists, people like that, and some are in political office too. And then you've got some people who have both motivations. They want power, and maybe they're anti-white to some degree. So it's a mixed bag, but it's not a good thing. And that's why I conclude my article with, well, what's the moral of the story? It is that if the left really wants less bloodshed, well, they have to cease their great replacement. What is that? Replacing truth with lies.
Yeah.
That's what the left is doing, and it's absolutely disgusting. Unfortunately, this is what happens when you have a society, Chuck, that's so balkanized. You know, if you go back to the Soviet Union, well, pre-Soviet Union in 1917, the Russian Revolution, they played the class warfare card, right? Why? Because Russia was relative to ourselves much more homogeneous, but also much poorer back then. So that could be a lot more effective, the class warfare card. Today, though, we have a society that, relatively speaking, is much richer, so class warfare doesn't work quite as well, although it still played to some degree that card. But because we're so balkanized, so heterogeneous, the race card and ethnicity card work absolutely perfectly. And unfortunately, that's the situation they're in. And the left is not going to stop because they think it's a key to power. And having said that, though, Chuck, stop me if I'm going on too long. And I mean that.
It's okay.
But I think you'll find this interesting. Joe Biden went to Buffalo recently, right, to give that little speech. And, of course, he beat all the usual leftist drums for gun control and talking about white supremacy. But you know what occurred to me? What occurred to me was this. If he had instead given just the opposite speech, if he had said, listen, this is not a time to be dividing Americans. We've got to come together. We've got to love each other. Okay, we've got to understand we're one people. If he really had struck a truly American note there, Chuck, I think over a short period of time, his approval rating would have shot up 10 to 15 points. I really believe that. Because what would that strategy be? That would be what Bill Clinton employed in the 90s, triangulation. And, of course, Clinton was just after power, too. He was doing it for the wrong reasons. But triangulation is where you try to capture the middle. But instead, these people on the left are just deferring. They're pandering to the radical fringe of the Democrat Party. And you say, why are they doing that? It's so crazy. The only thing I can think of is that they're driven by emotion, and passion governs, and she never governs wisely. And two, these people want more than just to win elections, some of them. They actually want to overthrow our system and institute some kind of autocracy, perhaps. Those are the only answers that really make sense, because otherwise, why not use or give some kind of unitive, uniting speech? That would have been the logical and prudent thing to do in terms of the election coming up in November.
You know, and it's the Ukraine's fault, right? The war, the Ukraine war, everything, the price of gas, all this stuff. Man, that was some interesting debate they had, I think it was Thursday, in the halls of Congress, you know, talking about all that stuff. And you didn't hear one mention of the fact that, you know, actually tomorrow, and that'll be on a Saturday, okay, the 21st, as this program is being broadcast on the 20th, is Armed Forces Day. It's, you know, he could have, somebody could have mentioned that, right? You know, think of veteran or something like that, but they just... they're almost ashamed of being Americans. You know, it's like we're going to take care of everything else. Hey, and by the way, I want to make sure the listener knows that if you go to SelwynDuke.com for the article we just talked about and all his great articles, on this one here that we were discussing, right at the very end, there's a link there where you can check out what Tucker Carlson, why did they hate Tucker so bad? And you can check out that interesting piece there. You know, it's... You always have those great links in there. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate that.
Well, I try. But, Chuck, don't you agree that if Biden had given a speech like that, that it really would have helped the Democrat cause right now?
Yep.
I mean, where's the downside?
Also, it's like all the money we're pouring out, you know? Even if he had made a speech sort of like what you're talking about, it's sort of like, yes, we are a great country and we're going to help other people, and so it's not so bad. Yeah, but where's that money going? You know, it's unbelievable. And then...
Oh, it's being wasted, most of it.
Your other article, I know we don't really have... we got about 15 minutes or 20, yeah. Anyway, is another thing, they just don't ever let it drop. And this is about reparations. Reparations, right? And every white child must support 16 minorities. This is... was this one particular professor, I think, doing most of this, talking about this? Of course, a lot of people talk about it all the time. It's been going on ever since, day one?
Yeah, well, it certainly has. As far as this professor goes, actually, I was looking at the comments under my article, and this is not surprising because often commenters don't actually read the articles, but they thought the professor was on the other side, that he was actually a proponent of reparations, and he was mocking the whole idea. He was just illustrating how unworkable it was by breaking down everything to the nth degree in terms of the numbers. And what he was saying is that, well, you know, most people in this country do oppose reparations, 70% according to one poll. However, there are stark racial ethnic divides on this issue, Chuck. Most black Americans, quote, 74% favor reparations compared with 15% of white Americans. Actually, I'm quoting there the New York Post. Among Hispanics, quote, 44% favor reparations, okay? And we can add to this, Chuck, that this movement has gained traction in the Democrat Party, as we know, because there are Democrat politicians who've openly advocated reparations. Well, anyway, this professor here who wrote the article I was citing, Professor Emeritus Gunnar Heinsohn, he taught at the University of Bremen and the NATO Defense College years ago. He said this phenomenon could intensify. He said, quote, thanks to critical race theory, America's white children are being steadily enlightened about their white privilege. Already, he writes, 62% of Americans demand that schools teach about systemic white racism. White children are made aware of their historical debt, primarily, but not only, to black Americans, unquote. Now, one thing, though, I have to say that this professor overstates the case a little bit, Chuck, because I looked at that poll he was citing by the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, and what it really found was that 62% of Americans believe schools should teach a lot or some, quote-unquote, quote, about racial inequality. So it's not about systemic white racism per se. So in other words, the picture is not quite as bleak as the one that the professor painted, but anyway, it's interesting because let's move on. The professor provides another statistic that illustrates something very interesting about minority status. He says, by 2030, of every 1,000 children worldwide, 15, only 15, will be U.S. whites. Okay? Now, then he elaborates on reparations realities. Okay? What would these 15 out of 1,000 children, the white children, have to do in the future if we keep on going down this reparations road? Well, he writes, quote, white kids are being encouraged to pay reparations to black Americans, three-quarters of whom already count on such redress. However, white children also hear debates about whether U.S. blacks are actually entitled to more aid than blacks in sub-Saharan Africa, who are robbed by slave traders of the progress, such as the largely missing industrialization that their enslaved brethren could have brought about. Now, let's just point out something here, Chuck. Want to take a pit stop. Maybe these people were robbed by slave traders, but a lot of those slave traders were Africans themselves, some were Arabs, but that's typically how it went. Tribes in Africa, like peoples elsewhere, they would fight with each other, and the people of the other tribe who they didn't kill when they won, they would enslave, and then sometimes they would sell those slaves to other people, including Europeans. That's what happened. But anyway, let me continue with what Heinzohn, the professor, wrote. Quote, already in 1999, the West's debt to Africa was calculated at $777 trillion, payable within 5 years. That sounds like a contract. Quote, in short, America's white children are getting ready to do something for all Africans. Harvard University provided them with an example when it committed in April 2022 $100 million for slavery reparations. Of course, Harvard can't afford that with the huge money it has on hand, which was donated to it, of course. Quote, I'm continuing with what the professor wrote. In 2030, blacks in sub-Saharan Africa will have 270 out of 1,000 children worldwide, plus another 30 in the global, mostly American and Brazilian diaspora, 300 out of 1,000 then in total. So 15 white U.S. children will not only face the challenge of taking back vital industries from cognitively superior East Asians, who are 135 out of 1,000, and caring for ever more of their own elderly, but also want to give 300 black African peers a helping hand. And then he asks, what must the curricula look like in American kindergartens and schools today in order to not only inspire but also empower these 15 kids to deliver material and social progress for the 300 in due time? So that's how he's breaking it down. He's showing how ridiculous it is and how unworkable it is. But unfortunately, like I've said, this reparations phenomenon really is gaining steam. It's not losing steam.
Yeah,
but we
let
can
me,
continue.
Let me
here.
Jump in here real yeah. quick. You know, whenever you say, let's vote on reparations for blacks, okay? Basically, I would say that I'm going to guess 70 to 80% of blacks would say, pardon me, yeah, I'll take some money. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
then
yeah, sure.
The congressman that's pushing for it says, hey, don't forget who gave you this free handout. You know, vote for me.
Right.
You know, it really has nothing to do with, you know, the overall badness of slavery. And then again, we're the country that ended slavery, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, we've talked about that a lot on this
yeah.
show. too few people point that out. As I put it, if you want to break this down racially with the left, is which the left is doing, okay, then let's do it. Then you can say white people were perhaps not the first ones to practice slavery, but they were for sure the first ones to eliminate it. And that's a striking fact of history, and it's something that the West never gets credit for. I mean, Western civilization did that. Not only that, Western civilization birthed our whole modern concept of human rights to begin with. But getting back to this professor, he breaks it down further, Chuck. He said, if you're going to talk about reparations, then Latin American countries could be included too, because they're also considered victims of so-called white oppression. And then he mentions that south of the border children, they're poised to be 75 out of every 1,000 of the world's kids in 2030. So this means 15 white youngsters will have to shoulder 375 people. The number is getting greater. This translates into each white individual supporting 25, quote, minorities. And he puts that in quotation marks because who's the real minority here? But then he puts it in a little more perspective. In fairness, though, we'd have to include the white Europeans in this because, after all, they're complicit in the oppression. They colonized much of the world. So then he says, well, they're going to have 25 of the world's 1,000 children in 2030. So this reduces each white kid's burden from those 25 minorities to maybe 9 or 10. But then you also have to include Arabs in there. Maybe they need reparations. They were colonized. 75 children per 1,000 in 2030 they'll be. And Central and South Asia as well, 275 children per 1,000. So at the end of the day, according to this professor, each, quote, guilty, unquote, white child then becomes responsible for 16 downtrodden souls.
All right. And, we'll take that break, and we'll be back with the final words. Oh, boy. Everybody wants to get their hand in the cookie jar, right? And there's a lot of people willing to open the lid on the cookie jar. That's seems like that's what's happening in the bump in the road of life. Selwyn Duke, D-U-K-E. The website, Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. We're going to give you the rest of the story on this one when we return.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. That's 800-846-2153.
These are the sounds of Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club.
Mm, look at this ribeye. You see that ribeye?
Fantastic. Ah, incredible.
This is delicious.
Sausage and lentil soup. Special today. Very, very good.
Look at this garlic bread. Best garlic bread I ever had.
And here's Vic Perino, owner and operator of Colombo's.
A lot of the Italian recipes are my uncle's own recipes. We have a lot of people coming back for his hand-rolled lasagna. We make it basically from scratch. I think ours is exceptional.
Here's Vic on what makes Colombo's different than any other Italian restaurant.
The other thing that sets us apart from other Italian restaurants is that we're an Italian steakhouse. We specialize in our steaks.
Plus, there's more.
We have entertainment 7 nights a week. So they're coming for a lot of reasons to value. Their value per dollar that they're getting, plus coming into a neighborhood-friendly place. That, you know, sometimes we're actually accused of being the melting pot of Eagle Rock.
Colombo's in Eagle Rock on Colorado Boulevard. 323-254-9138. Munge.
Hi, everyone. Fred Dreyer here, reminding all of you to join me for a very special event coming your way Sunday, June 12th at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Meet me at galaxycon.com for a free question and answer session, then stick around for a one-on-one video chat with me. You and I can chat one-on-one, plus there are autographs and more. Sign up now at galaxycon.com. That's galaxycon.com. GALAXYCON.com. Remember, you can personally chat with me on Sunday, June 12th, but you have to sign up before the event. I want to talk with you. So head over to galaxycon.com and sign up today. It all takes place Sunday, June 12th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time with me, Fred Dreyer. Go to galaxycon.com and sign up now. See you Sunday the 12th at galaxycon.com.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, my guest, and we're discussing Professor for Complete Reparations. Every white child must support 16 minorities. And here's Selwyn now going to give us the finale on this one. But I'm not putting any pennies in a jar yet, okay? Just, okay, go ahead.
You'll like this. So, anyway, the professor points out that providing these reparations would be a lot easier if whites were going to represent not just 6% of the Earth's 2030 young, but the 36% they were in 1914. And he's making the point about who the real minority is. But anyway, there's another calculation, Chuck, that we need to make if we're going to be fair. And I point this out in my article. If there can be collective guilt, well, guess what? There can also be collective credit. And so we talked about how whites were the first group to end slavery, but there's another factor. Their Western civilization, Chuck, has created virtually all the life-saving, life-enhancing advances that we enjoy. Modern science and medicine, all our conveniences, our luxuries, refrigeration, indoor plumbing, heat and air conditioning, our TVs, computers, okay? And it's all these advances that have enabled populations, Chuck, to grow and has enabled us to enjoy the prosperity and material fulfillment that we have, which was previously unknown in history. So if we can have this collective credit, then guess what? We don't just pay reparations, we also have to get royalty checks, okay? So I'm going to take my royalty checks, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to cash them and use that to pay my reparations, and I know I'm going to have a lot left over, and with that, I can go and kick back in the Caribbean. Only fair, if there can be collective guilt, collective blame, there can also be collective credit, right?
Right. I'm looking for the right word, input from blacks that have discoveries in America. I'm trying to think, and shame on me for forgetting the lady's name. Remember the one that was the great mathematician that worked for NASA, and she's the one that saved the whole space thing from crashing at one time. I can't remember her name, though, but they had a movie about her, too. But I figured if I had Selwyn Duke here, he'd probably know exactly because he's...
I don't remember her name. I can tell you this. If you're a golfer, it was a black man who invented the golf tee. That's my understanding, anyway.
The golf tee?
If you're a golfer. Yeah, the golf tee, you know, that you stick in the ground and
you put
the ball on it.
On there, right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand that a lot of people that are into tennis... they have a really good going racket.
That's right.
On that one,
I used to be into tennis. I can verify that. Yeah,
you could have been a pro tennis player, and if he was just a little taller, Selwyn. But thank goodness he turned out to just be one of the greatest writers, talkers in the world, right there, Selwyn Duke. And that sounds like an English name, so you don't have to worry about your reparations. What?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not actually of English descent. It's a shortened Slavic name, so maybe I get off a little bit, but I don't know. I think all of us white people are considered complicit, right?
That is right, yes. And sometimes there's people that get blamed for things they don't even do because they did it once. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Hey, Selwyn, thank you very much. And sorry we didn't get to the one there, another great one here, listener. Some libs are befuddled and worried that the conservative comedy scene is besting them. And I automatically think of, what's his name? Gutfeld. Yes, doing really good.
That's right. He was mentioned. But thank you, Chuck, and God bless.
God bless you, sir, and we'll talk to you next Friday. Yes, Selwyn Duke. It's selwynduke.com. Thank you, Suede. Thank you for listening, and God bless the United States of America.